Cancers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. So glad to have you here with us. Thanks for being here with us. Second hour, Joe's coming back. Joe Heschmeyer will be back for a bonus hour this week. We'll do an open forum with Joe after this. This hour, one friend of Joe. It's very hard to do anything in Catholic radio and not have a friend of Joe Heschmeyer involved in some way. Our guests are from Desert Stream Ministries, a 43-year-old ministry for helping with healing and overcoming what we might call a lack of integration. Well, we'll talk about what that means a bit more as we go. Your calls are welcome, of course, as always, 888-318-7884. And you certainly do not have to be Catholic. You don't have to agree with us if you'd like to call, 888-318-7884. Our guests are Andrew Comiskey and Marco Casanova. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Cy.
And I'll start with you, Andrew. Maybe tell us about what that means, what I just said about being coming, helping people to be integrated in the Catholic way.
I need to start by saying I am not a fan of Joe's.
You're not a fan of Joe's?
Yes.
Marco, I'm a bigger fan of yours.
Marco likes him.
I will defend Joe Heschmeyer.
I needed to say for the minority.
Joe, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
He doesn't mean that.
Yes. No, we love Joe. And so grateful for him in Kansas City.
Yes.
So this integration thing is all about what God has put in every man and woman, and that is a longing to recognize and to bless and to dignify what is essentially feminine in her and masculine in him. And so we're not that great at it, you know, we move in fits and starts in the recognition and in the praxis. But it's a great lifetime goal, this sexual integration thing. And that's what we're all about, is just meeting people at different levels and stages of disintegration and saying, let's take some progress together towards this one orientation, which is to dignify this essence. And that's what we're about. And that's how we live. That's how we want to grow. And we're all about mobilizing people in the body of Christ who want it to take ground towards that end. And in a way, find a sane, and I hope a profound way through what is a very confusing sexual spectrum out there. And we say, yeah, we know people are experiencing many things and have different ideas about identity and desire, and we're simply saying, but in truth, isn't there something more profound, more authentic that Jesus helps us to recognize and frees us to integrate, to take progress to integrate? And that's kind of what we're about at Desert Stream. I come out of a homosexual background, so I know something of other identification, sexually speaking, and the freedom to do so. In Southern California, growing up here in the sexual revolution in Long Beach and Los Angeles, but also Jesus freeing me. And I do say this as a great freedom, not as like this horrific crucible, yes, but as a freedom to say, I want to be true to myself.
Amen.
And I believe in being true to myself in a, I think, a profound way, being true to the one who made me and is very present to help me live that out.
It's an important, so much of what you say is important, but and it's particularly relevant to our moment where there's a kind of struggle over how do we be a welcoming church? How do we be an embracing church? How do we be a church of accompaniment and all of that? Nothing that you say suggests a lack of welcome, a lack of accompaniment to me, but it is a different view than saying, I don't know how to put this, maybe the view that says what the church needs to do is accept everyone
right
as they are.
No, we don't pander to people groups. And when I say a person group, I mean the misbegotten idea that sexual identity is an ethnos, that this is intrinsic to me, that I'm born this way, or even if I'm not. See, in the gender fluidity 21st century, it's no longer the old Oprah, well, you were born gay, like that is who you are. That is just it. Now it's just like, well, no, I want to be this, and I should have every freedom to be this. So there's two different things going on in today's sort of rainbow world. The one is a little more traditional, from more of sort of the 60s on, and now in the 21st century, it's just I'm morphing, and my freedom is to morph. Yeah. Our thing is there actually is a human nature. We simply believe as Christians, and as Christians to the world, that we actually have a human nature, and in order to be free, we need to be faithful to that nature. And I guess truly our assumption is, if we're building an identity on disordered desire, I don't classify that as a people group, even though right now it's weaponized and politicized, and it's really what the synod is significantly about, is how do we in a sense assimilate the LGBTQ culture. And I just say, well, we assimilate them by loving them into the truth of Jesus Christ, and similarly into the truth of who they truly are. And if we as a church aren't clear in that, then we're not the ones who are going to be doing the evangelization. We're going to be evangelized.
And I think that's what's happening, as a matter of fact. That is, in fact, what's happening. Is that because we don't tell the full truth about Christ as having the power to transform any life, any relationship, and bring it to the fullness of life as he calls us to.
Yes.
And that he truly is a savior.
Yes.
And not just a kind of a good friend. He is a good friend, but a good friend who saves us.
Yeah, he's a savior.
That we are being, many Catholics, I think, have a kind of dual view on this, that I do accept Jesus as the Savior. I do accept, but there's, and Marco, maybe I'll invite you to get on this. Marco Casanova, who is also with Desert Stream Ministries. I accept Christ. I accept the church. I love the church. I want the teaching of the church. But on sexual matters, things are changing, and we know more than we used to know. That kind of attitude.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomena, like as if someone with same-sex attraction can't experience healing and freedom, as if that's sort of hands off. And we would believe, just in the witness of the New Testament, Catholic anthropology, from my own experience of how Jesus has helped me, that indeed he helps us to become integrated. It doesn't mean I don't struggle. I'm a struggler, but I'm clean, and I can remain clean, and my proclivity doesn't have to identify me. I think a big thing too, which I think is thrown around a lot today, is the language of orientation, how our orientation is just what we feel, or my orientation is just my proclivity. And I think when we use that word, I think we misuse it, because it's actually a philosophical word with a lot more gravitas, you know? To say my orientation is I'm a gay man, that's my orientation. That says something quite conclusive about your sexuality, about the nature and the purpose, the nature and direction of one's sexuality. So I think we're very confused today. You know, and in that confusion, we sort of say, well, Jesus really can't reconcile me to the truth of my masculinity. I'm like, well, what does that even mean?
Yeah, because it's interesting what you say, and it brings up something you said earlier off the air when we were talking earlier. That I want to get back to, because it really struck me that, and you'll have to correct me if I'm getting a misimpression of what you're saying, but there is actually a physical orientation of the male to the female, that it's not, that orientation is not just some ephemeral thing that has to do with what I'm desiring at the moment. But and so, like, that's undeniable that you do have a physical orientation as a man.
And I mean, John Paul II speaks of this in Theology of the Body. He calls it the spousal nature of our bodies.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a nature, like Andrew said, with the differentiation of masculinity and femininity, and our bodies are emblematic of that nature. You don't have to go into deep dialogues about who you are. Just look in the mirror And your masculine frame speaks of your direction unto her, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we may have very confusing and difficult proclivities, but that doesn't determine your orientation, your identity.
And I would dare say, and I think this is an important point to keep in mind with the healing church, because we want to be a healing church. We want to be a church that recognizes, yeah, well, there is a gap between what I'm experiencing and where I'm supposed to be heading. And when that's the case, we can call upon this Savior and draw upon the resources of the church to help us identify and get at what is blocking us, what is hurting and frustrating our capacity to take important strides in this orientation of dignifying the other and honoring the opposite gender as well. I mean, rather, our same gender friendships. And I think this is where we at Desert Stream, and we equip people to do this group, Living Waters, men and women together, working on this true orientation together from a variety of starting points. There are real wounds.
Right.
Yeah. And there are real blocks. There is a fallout in our world that didn't just start with the sexual revolution, which has impacted all of us. And when we recognize that, then it creates level ground for the body of Christ saying, you know, the most pious to the most sort of divided in obvious ways, we're all disintegrated people. And we all can take ground together in this sort of original dignity. And that's a really important premise, because it kind of takes aim, and I think appropriately, I hope, exposes and dissipates this idea that people are actually in different categories. Mm. And for maybe more traditional, you could say more Pharisaic types, exotic sort of LGBT stuff, that's too much. Like, we can't even begin to touch that. And sort of winking at traditional sins like daddy's adultery, or, you know, the porn stash, or, you know, she just sleeps around a little or something, as if that's kind of okay. Like, traditional unchastity is something that we don't take seriously. Well, at Living Waters, we take it all seriously, if you take it seriously. And we're going to say together, let's begin to live lives of a truer authenticity as Christians. Let's be true to Jesus and true to one another. Because actually, my traditional unchastity is having as much of a ripple effect as your sort of, you know, dodgy same-sex stuff.
Isn't that wonderful? That gives you a sense of what that means to be integrated, is really of not living a double life or a triple life, but living a single life in Christ. One life that is all oriented towards Christ, who saves us and heals and encourages us and helps us. You know, I mean, and you know, we get quite a few emails from people who are quite distraught that they can't, or they don't feel they can overcome a sin or a particular habit of sin. And it seems to me that at this point, having gotten a lot of those emails, one of the primary things we can do is encourage one another. And that means that's what Christ wants, is be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. Or I do want to invite more callers. If you'll let me give the phone number out again, 888-318-7884 is the number. Maybe this way of talking about sexuality, particularly about homosexuality, is new to you, or an innovation, or maybe it bugs you. Whatever, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. It does strike me that what you're saying is everybody is moving towards this integration.
Yeah.
And that we may come at it from different types of disintegration, but we can help each other.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, that's that type of that problem over there. Well, my disintegration is no more or less impressive than your disintegration or the person down the streets. We can help each other towards Jesus.
Right. And I think too. Oh, sorry.
Please. Go ahead. No. And maybe you could describe a little bit of your experience in community in Kansas City.
I was just about to say that. Just my experience of Living Waters in working out my own stuff comes from a background of same-sex attraction. It was helpful for me to be in a community that was heterogeneous, had different starting points for the men in my small group. So for those in Living Waters, you go with men and women together, you start together, you worship together, you listen to a teaching together, you listen to a witness together, but you have women meet with women, men meet with men every week, the same men, so you're tracking with the same guys. And there was something about those guys who didn't necessarily struggle like me that really helped me. It brought me out of isolation, that my proclivity was special, or that my wounding was so hidden and exotic.
Exactly. Unspeakable or something.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And it also helped me, which honestly was so healing for me, is to believe that I'm just a man among men. You know, and to accept the kind of guy that I am. Like, these were all things that were falling into place just by nature of having a group of guys who aren't all, same-sex attracted. You know? So there was something very helpful for
me. Are not all same-sex attracted, but are all in need of the healing of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
Whatever the wound is, the habit, the hurt is... Mm-hmm. I went too long without taking a break, so I will ask you gentlemen to excuse me for a minute while I take the break, and then we'll come back. We'll take calls, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Let me just say this before we go to the break. I'll tell you what always happens with these shows when we have new guests and new topics. All the calls will come in the last 15 minutes, so don't do that. Pick up the phone and call now, because that way we can get you on, and you are welcome here. We'd love to talk with you. 888-318-7884.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Experience the incredible story of the woman who Time magazine named the most influential Catholic woman in the United States. Born Rita Rizzo, the future mother Angelica grew up in a rough neighborhood in Canton, Ohio. Young Rita experienced abandonment, rejection, and heartache, but God touched her through a woman named Rhoda Wise. Encounter this amazing woman at the Mother Angelica Museum. Plan your visit today at motherangelicamuseum.com.
Save the date. Saturday, August 26th is the day, and Birmingham, Alabama is the place for the 2023 EWTN Family Celebration. We're celebrating Mother Angelica's love for the Eucharist, and join us to mark the centennial year of Mother's birth. Make your plans now to attend this free event. More details coming soon at our Family Celebration webpage, ewtn.com/family celebration.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, on this Friday afternoon. It's always kind of a mixed bag on a Friday afternoon because I know I won't be here on Saturday. That's all right. My wife will have chores for me to get to do and come back and do it again after that. The number is 888-318-7884. We really do welcome your calls, 888-318-7884. Among the most contentious issues in the world today, but in a very strange way, in recent years, among the most contentious issues within the Catholic Church is the whole issue, this whole idea of how do we respond in a Christian way, with the love of God, how do we respond to the fact that we're sexually broken people? That I didn't say that right, but it's essentially, it seems to me there are a variety of ways of responding. Among them are a kind of close your eyes and grit your teeth, and I don't want to talk about that, all the way over to everything's okay, everybody's okay, Jesus just wants you to come to church, both of which extremes seem not to be the position our Lord takes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think to those people that are out there struggling, usually today, for men, but now significantly with women, wherever there is sexual disintegration, porn is a part of it. Whether it was making sense of it by oneself before a computer screen, no one knows anything, you're forging these virtual communities and sort of devotion to these images and so on and so forth. So you have some pretty powerful stuff that is impacting your imagination and I think really your whole kind of perceptual grid.
Right.
So I think when that's the case and when honestly for some people the habitual patterns of behavior and thought, sort of the intensifying of feeling according to the signposts of the world and so on and so forth, it takes a village. It takes a community. And so kind of what you're saying is, well, church is a place where we go and we fulfill a Sunday obligation or, you know, whatever, rather than no, church is my new community. Church is my countercultural community.
Amen.
Because the world and potentially myself, I'm getting worse. And so
right.
I actually have to find roots in a countercultural community. And frankly, I think that's where we're seeing some great changes in the Catholic Church. But I think traditionally, the church has not been great at providing well-boundaried, candid communities where we can find an infrastructure of like-minded men and women who are going where we know, based on the conviction of the Holy Spirit, our own conscience, the witness of our bodies, where we need to go. It's rather urgent that we find a way together. And I mean, our way with Living Waters is just one way. It's not the way. It's a pretty good way, forged over many years. But at least it's a prophetic witness of this is what the church can be. Hmm. It can be. We can do better. And that's what we're trying to do. Yeah. In a sense, I think the proof is not in the great teaching. The church already has that. The proof is in the praxis. Are we truly finding one another in our common struggle and taking ground together? And so that's what I want. I've done Living Waters now for 43 years. I love doing it many years later. But the reason that I do it is, A, I know people need it and they're hungry for it. But I need to revisit the waters.
Right.
I need to stay in the water. I need to stay near this wellspring of life so I can give it authentically. And as Marco and I always say to each other, Jesus didn't save me to make me a liar or ultimately a turncoat because it's just too much. I just can't do it. And we hear too much from the beloved people we serve that they came to that point of, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can be faithful to real chastity. I love the concept, I cannot live it. And so to me, the issue is not, do we have clarity of teaching? Yes, we need that and we need to be clear on it, especially in today's culture, church culture. But I think more than that, we need effective praxis. How do we get there?
And that's what you're doing with the Living Waters.
Yeah.
The whole Living Waters program. Or I don't know if program is the right word.
Yeah.
But one of you tell us about what happens in these Living Waters groups?
Yeah, sure. So Living Waters, it's conducted here in the United States and beyond in other parts of the world. And it's a 20-week group done in a parish setting. And it's a closed group. You got to sign up for it. You got to be accepted to it. You got to actually say, I'm going to come, and I'm going to come to every meeting, basically. And it starts at, let's say, 7 p.m. You worship Jesus for a little bit, 20 minutes. And it's not optional because it's really all about Him. It's very little about our brokenness. It's about Him. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm here. Here I am. Why did I sign up for this? or I can't, I love this, what, and anywhere in between.
Sure.
For 20 minutes, we worship Jesus. It's a beautiful way to acclimatize ourselves to the waters. Like, okay, Lord, I need to get into the water tonight. I need more of your healing. And then we listen to a teaching. So someone from the ministry team gives the teaching. Or you listen to one of our videos. We have all the teachings on video now.
And
you
it's can a get man a- and a woman together conveying what this facet of healing is.
Exactly.
Which is important.
It is an important aspect of Living Waters. We want to really, the Imago Dei is important to the whole ethos of Living Waters. That the masculine perspective, the feminine perspective is well represented in every Living Waters night. So we listen to a teaching, we hear a witness, and then we do something called ministry time where people come up and they really say, I need healing here.
Yeah. You probably hear the music.
Yeah.
Let's do it on the other side. Well, I'll get to the calls. I promise I will. 888-318-7884.
Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history in the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Second hour, we'll do a bonus hour. We'll finish the week with an open forum. You can call and ask whatever you want. Joe Heschmeyer will be our guest. This hour, we have two gentlemen who live in the same part of the country Joe lives in, claim to be friends of his. Andrew Comiskey. And, well, he rolls his eyes. Not so much a friend.
It's hard.
Huh?
It's hard. You're bringing up, you know, there's a healing continues.
And Marco Casanova, both from Desert Stream Ministries, which you can find at desertstreamministries.org, desertstreamministries.org. If you'd like more information on the Catholic teaching, on living this integrated life, this life that is not a double life, but is a single life, and I don't mean single in the sense of not married, but is a
integrated life.
In Christ. Or if it's something that you'd like to help others come to, and you'd like a program that you can use in your parish, or like any other information, desertstreamministries.org. Marco, you were in the middle of explaining what happens at the
Living Waters.
Living Waters.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And so after the teaching, after the witness done by a man and a woman, we have something called a ministry time where people can come up, and if they've been affected by what's been proclaimed, and they say in their own hearts, like, wow, I need further integration in this area, They come up and linger in the power of the Holy Spirit for about 20 minutes, have ministry team lay hands and give words. And then we do gender-specific small groups for the second half. So every week for 20 weeks.
In those small groups, say I went to one of these, mm-hmm. and I would be sharing the areas of my life where I was needing help with sexual integration. Mm-hmm. But why would it be safe for me to do that? Because that's... most people don't want to do that.
Sure.
I don't want to do that.
And most people coming to Living Waters are making a personal decision and saying, I want to work on this focused area of my life, on these very specific areas of sexual and relational frustration. And the small group is very simple. People share. There's no crosstalk. It's not advice giving. It's not, listen to this podcast or read this book. It's really you share. And then we listen to the Father. We lay hands and we take moments of silence and we exercise something called listening prayer, where we listen to the Father who speaks words of blessing and encouragement over our brother, over our sister. So yeah, that's what we do every week. And it's simple, it's so accessible, but it necessitates a disciple who's saying, I am personally motivated to becoming more chaste in these areas of my life. And I'm willing to reveal myself in these areas, in this little microcosm of the church, and to say, I need some healing here. Would you lay hands and ask Jesus with me to come and heal me?
Wow, I just feel like I could talk about this forever with you guys, because it so fits with what the church is called to be. It just, that's how it strikes me. But I can't do that because I have callers on the line who I just keep waiting. So would it be okay with you if I went to the
phones? Absolutely.
All right, let's start with Logan in Montana, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Logan, we're glad you're here. Thank you, Logan, for waiting. Go ahead with your questions for Andrew and Marco. Logan, wait, we don't have you. You sound really far away. I can't hear you. Can you get closer to that phone? I know you're in Montana.
Is it better?
Oh, you're getting closer. You're getting closer. Pull it up a little farther out of the well, and then we'll be able to hear you, Logan. No?
Is that better? Can you?
Oh yeah. Give it a shot. Let's hear you. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Thanks for having on, guys. I was just curious on how to deal with family members of the LGBTQ community, especially the ones that you want to bring to other churches based on acceptance and that sort of thing.
Okay, I know that for some listeners that was hard to hear, so I'm just going to repeat what I heard, Logan. You have family members who are part of the LGBT community, if a person does, and how do you invite those people or talk to those people about coming mm-hmm. back to the faith? That's mm-hmm. a paraphrase.
Yep.
What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, I would be grateful that your family member is open with you about how he or she is identifying. I think that shows a little bit of trust in you, disclosing something deep and significant for them. So I think that's important to honor that disclosure. I also think it's important that you retain your proper way of seeing that person, not as the sum of their desires, even if they are wanting you to do that. I think it's important that you keep a clear vision as to who he or she is as someone created and deeply loved by God. And I think the best way to relate to them is not as a project, how do I actually get them back into the pew? Because getting them back into the pew won't do anything if their heart isn't actually vulnerable to Jesus. But I think in your particular care of them, and in your spiritual, I hope, acuity and clarity, that you can be an agent of Jesus' mercy for them that actually rings truer to them than, honestly, what is now sort of an LGBTQ platitude, like, oh, well, of course you can be that, and that's who you are, and oh, I celebrate you, and really, which is now just kind of boring, and it's a platitude. It actually doesn't correspond with the true hunger of their heart. So you have to be a courageous friend and family member to seek to meet them on the deeper ground of of who he or she is and what he or she needs in Jesus. And I think that's going to be the bridge that will make going to church meaningful to them or not. I mean, someone can go with me somewhere and hold their breath. I want to sort of take some ground at the subterranean level, and I think that's always what Jesus does when he engages with us, and maybe we can do a little better job of it with family members identifying in any way that isn't authentically Christian.
Logan, I would love to make it a conversation. I don't think we have a good enough connection to do that. So I hope that was helpful to you. I'm very grateful that you waited as long as you did to get on. Did you want to add something, Marco? You look like you did, or
yeah,
I can go on.
Yeah, I just one thing I think is always helpful too is never never shy away from actually disclosing your areas where you have need of Jesus in your sexual and relational brokenness too. That could open up some ways for people, I think. Not to be so, oh, I'm going to be your therapeutic family member. Like, tell me more so that I can help you. It's like, well, maybe you can become a witness. You don't have to struggle with same-sex attraction to relate to them on levels of deep need. And if you disclose that, it could actually invite or it could tenderize the heart. Like, I can have need here. I can be known here. I just think that could be helpful.
Yeah. Marco, thank you very, very much. The number is 888-318-7884. More on the line, we'll go to Chris in Nevada County, California, listening on EWTN.com. Chris, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Andrew and Marco.
Okay, yes, right. Initially, I just wanted to say thank you for the content of the program, because in my 50s, being single, unmarried, past relationships have been on my mind, and you know, the healing in those relationships through Christ is important. And I wondered to myself, you know, what in the way of attitudes do I still have and still require change? You know, I was listening overnight, and Mother Angelica was saying prayer is when you talk to God and God takes a place, whether it's as the Holy Ghost, I don't really know, but he increases in ourselves through that communication with him. And, you know, I was like, I need that. And I find that lost when I'm not in prayer. So I wanted to say thank you for the content. It allowed me to think of where I need areas of healing. I don't want to carry forward things that if I should ever end up in a relationship again, which I think is highly improbable, unless I find a virtuous gold digger, if I end up being wealthy and attractive in those means. Not to
yes,
put you down
and
on myself.
That's a worthy goal. But, look for the virtuous gold digger.
Right.
Joe, I think Joe would agree you with are, us here.
You've been affirmed in that.
Yes,
Chris. Joe. Hang on, let me just see if beyond that, did you hang on, Chris, don't go anywhere, because I think, well, you have a nice connection and we can make this conversation.
Yes, good.
I love that. Yeah?
No, I think what you're saying is that in a way the pains of seeking to dignify the other are sort of, I mean, we move in fits and starts, and people that have sort of SSA or kind of more controversial tendencies, if you will, don't have the corner on disintegration and the need for healing and the need to be thoughtful and evaluatory and then proactive in saying, but I actually still have to go about the business of dignifying the other. I may have had hard knocks. I may not want to get out of bed. I may not want to see myself as a good gift, but I actually am under a blessed command, and that is to activate the gift, and where that's difficult, to get the help that I need to get on with the business of living out our common humanity.
And I just thank you for your comment. It's vulnerable. I was just thinking of myself when you were speaking of how I often disqualified myself from marriage because of same-sex attraction, and I was in the seminary, so I thought, well, I'd just be a celibate because you know, I'm disqualified from the Garden of Eden. But I just felt as you were speaking, like, don't disqualify yourself.
Yeah.
You're a good gift. And you know, if the Lord is deeming you to to really embark on matrimony, on relationships. Let him determine that for you. Don't close the door so fast based on disqualification, but have expectancy that Jesus has good things for your gift giving. I've experienced that in my life, and it's not because I'm anybody special. It's just what Jesus does for people. And so I just want to encourage you in that.
Mm-hmm. Chris, I'd like to come back to you and hear what you think.
So it's a complicated matter with me. I've been a child of divorce, and things that I guess maybe were stereotypical during the years that I was growing up, in addition to what attitudes were presented to me, conflicted with how I was being raised in the home. And I'd have conversations with my mother, and I grew up with a sister. So, you know, she would cite her brother, one of her older brothers, having these issues because of how he would speak and how he looked and attitudes that were against him because he didn't really fit a football type character. And so, you know, she would provide me with comfort and assure me, look, you know, you're healthy. But the 80s were a big period of time for AIDS, and there was a great deal of press and media and things surrounding it. And how I would pursue being a man wasn't necessarily in the most healthy way. There was promiscuity. And then sometimes I'd turn toward drinking. And although I typically would not put myself into too grave of a risk, I did at times, although I tried to avoid it, such as, you know, walking instead of driving. And when walking, walk during a period of time when few people are out. And that would, you know, largely leave me pretty well safe because there's no one really to pose a threat. Well, such things don't always work out no matter what's done through the avoidance. But so I don't know if I'm really getting to what you questioned me on, what I think about these things. You know, I've had friends who have had same-sex attraction. And myself, you know, there was the comment being made, when you open yourself up through, you know, you don't have to have same-sex attraction in order to relate or have someone open up to you. And so on. And there can be a way for people to relate through their own experiences that are not necessarily that. And so, you know, I did that coming home out of the military, wanting to make friends, and somebody with same-sex attraction and was from a conservative prominent family, which I ended up being open about, and a brother decided to take revenge against me. Well, it ended up translating across so many years that publicly over the air, law enforcement would refer to me and treat me as though I was some sort of same-sex attraction person. And matters that occurred across that period of time warranted attention from the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Chris, are you left with the sense that it's all too much to be healed now after all of that?
No, I don't. Because, you know, I recognize there being so much healing. I think what I'm left with is I'm not entirely certain because I'm fairly sedentary due to a back surgery, and my income is quite low. It's not really sufficient enough to provide for a family in any capacity. I don't even really have enough to pay what's a median rent where I live on a monthly basis.
Do you gentlemen have any words of encouragement or a direction or hope for Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're sharing important things over a long period of time that have impacted you. I love what you started out with in regards to prayer and, in a way, spiritual chastity, being united with the Father through the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit. I think that's key in leaner times relationally. So you can keep the channels clear. I would urge you, I know I'm sure you as a faithful Catholic, you're up to date with confession and so on and so forth. So I think you need to stand in your freedom as a forgiven man and just continue to grow in your relationship with Jesus, certain that he's not done in his redeeming work in your life.
Amen.
Thank you, Chris. I have gone over the break, so I have to take the break. We'll be right back with more calls. If you're on the line, hang on the line. We're going to get to you. If you haven't called yet and you'd like to get in on this conversation, 888-318-7884.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Divine Intimacy Radio.
The greatest joy in my life is helping others to come to know Christ more fully. And there's no better light on this path, the path to deep union with God, than the wisdom of the saints. Talking about this daily on EWTN Radio is one of the great joys of my life.
Divine Intimacy Radio, Sunday, 6:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Marco Casanova and Andrew Comiskey are our guests, and you are welcome here. We're talking about the whole, let's put it this way, a Catholic approach, a deeply Catholic approach to finding an integrated sexuality. That is to have our whole life integrated, including our sexuality. It's a great difficulty for many of us these days because, well, there's media, there's the isolation, there's all these other symptoms of the modern age that make it easy, make us probably easy prey for all kinds of sexual disintegration. If this is something that's of interest to you, you'd like help, you'd like to help someone else, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. I want to say again, just before I go to Tyler in Arizona, so hang on, Tyler, I'm coming to you next. DesertStreamMinistries.org is where you can find out more, and I want you...
No? It's just DesertStream.org.
Oh, DesertStream.org. Mm-hmm. I think I've been saying Desert Stream Ministries.
It's called Desert Stream Ministries, but the website is just DesertStream.org.
This is the first time I've ever messed up a website.
I think you've been good.
I think this is the first time I've ever done that. I've never messed up a website before.
It's big. This is too much.
But I also wanted you, and I am coming to you, Tyler, but I want you to mention your book. Because it's a help to, I'm sure it'll be a help to many
people.
Thank you.
It's from Sophia Institute Press called Rediscovering Our Lost Fullness.
Beautiful.
Just came out. The term is culled from Theology of the Body, but many, many stories of hope and some real handles using the cardinal virtues on how to take practical steps in this direction of dignifying the other's essence as male or female.
Say the title again.
Rediscovering Our Lost Fullness.
Let's go to Tyler in Arizona, watching on Twitch. Tyler, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question.
Hi there. I was wondering if you can hear me all right.
Very well.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question, because I follow you on Twitch and I saw the banner for healing from sexual sin, and I was coming with my own problems and more so seeking advice.
Okay.
I do struggle very heavily with that kind of sin, and you know I go to confession every week for it.
Mm.
And you know there's some times where I always do this with myself. I always second guess myself after I'm out of confession, because it's hard for me. I'm 99% sure it's an addiction, and I'm trying very hard to take practical steps and spiritual steps to, you know, cease it, you know. And
okay,
there are times where I second guess myself, you know, am I just doing this just so I feel better and I just, you know, go out and sin again, you know. And I did some research on it, and I came across a saint, forgive me for my pronunciation, Saint Mark Shunsheng.
Oh, yeah.
An opioid addict.
Right.
He'd go to confession every week and wouldn't receive absolution. He became a martyr. I think more so I just need words of encouragement, really. Mm. You know,
okay, Tyler, let's get those for you. Hang on, but I'll come back to you. St. Mark, a wonderful saint, Chinese martyr during the Boxer Revolution, died actually never having overcome his addiction. But he did, in fact, die a martyr. And I love him, so I just love it when people bring him up. you wanted to respond to Tyler?
Yeah, Tyler. I want to say we have a friend in Phoenix, where you're from, and his name is Gary Ingram. He's a wonderful Living Waters leader, and you just need to look him up. Or you can even email us at Desert Stream, and we'll get you connected. Because I really do believe what you're experiencing, the depth of addiction and all of that, that Jesus actually has freedom for you. I appreciate the saint, but I really think there's freedom for you. Jesus, that's why Jesus died on the cross, is to give you freedom. So you don't have to rest in your addiction. And I just believe that. Honestly, he's done that in my life. And he continues to do that. Through the power of his mercy, through the power of his body, the church. So we want to connect you, brother, with some people who will walk with you in your area. And his name is Gary Ingram. So you get in touch with us, and I'll put you in touch with him.
Oh, well, I didn't know you're going to have quite so specific an answer for Tyler. That's very helpful.
No, it's true. And I think what you're saying is that you are on the track of righteousness with participating in the sacramental rhythms of the church, and that's foundational. But we also need the thickening of that vertical reality. I'm sorry, the horizontal reality of the one another. Confess our sins and faults to each other so that we can be healed.
Yeah.
And now there's foolish ways and there's good ways of going about that. And Gary is a wise guide.
Yeah.
And so I would urge you, if you feel so inclined, to simply thicken your system of restoration.
Yeah.
And that's our responsibility as persons to work that out.
Tyler said I was coming back to you, but we're so close to the end, and I got to go to Nikki in Portland,
Bless
Oregon.
You, Tyler.
But you're always welcome to email us at radio@catholic.com if that will help. Nikki, go ahead with your question.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. So, I've been involved with the LGBT community here for a while. I mean, I've got a lot of friends. I was an atheist for a while, and so kind of was involved in that, and then met Jesus and had some housemates that were still LGBTQ, and so, I just didn't know how to help them, and there were a few Protestant ministries here in Portland that seemed to do a really good job, but you know, I'm struggling. I have a lot of people coming to me in the Catholic Church asking, you know, what should we do? We're struggling. And I know the Archdiocese of Portland came out with their statement.
Nikki,
really,
you know what? There's only seconds left. So I'm going to, because I know there's a good response for you here, Andrew.
Yeah, there's a great church, Bridgetown Church. It's a booming young adult church. And honestly, one of our board members, one of our best friends, Morgan Davis, we can give you his information.
Yeah.
He would be a great arm for you, whether it's in the Catholic world or the Protestant. It's about finding wise guides in your city that have walked the walk. And we would so happily connect to you. There's such life there in the Catholic world in Portland, but there's a mixture too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that you get compassionate but also truthful guides.
Yeah.
And we can be of help to you. And I so appreciate your standing in the gap for your brothers and sisters. You are a godsend and an agent of the kingdom of God for them.
Amen.
We'd love to shore that up with you.
You can go to desertstream.org, desertstream.org. Anybody that would like more information can also email us, radio@catholic.com. We will get your emails to these gentlemen. I want to thank Marco Casanova. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
from Desert Stream Ministries, and also the founder of Desert Stream Ministries, Andrew Comiskey.
Amen. And on the mend in relationship to Joe. But keep praying.
All right, Joe Heschmeyer coming
yes.
up next.
Joe Heschmeyer.
Catholic yes. Answers Live.